Back, is that better?
Oh, that's fine.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Kill the mic, sir.
All set. Once again, I would like to welcome you all to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dettis.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes, and we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
We're covering data blah, 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 blah.
Yes, we are.
Speaking in tongues. Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communications and the internet, and all kinds of, right now, just allergies is mostly what we talked about
allergies.
In my mind.
Yeah. Right before we roll
which
tape.
Is a fascinating topic to talk about, I suppose.
I grabbed my handkerchief, you grabbed yours, and we both gave our noses a good long blow, just to make sure we sounded good for all you fine folk out there.
Yep.
Wow, that was descriptive.
So wasn't it?
I
dare you to get that in post-production.
There's no way I can remove that.
No.
The whole world will know. We're also joined by Aaron, the Professor Levanchi. Is that that's your nickname, as I understand, right?
Yeah, it is my nickname.
Okay, yeah. Aaron is from, maybe I should just refer to you as the professor from now on, from Fort Collins. Are you interested in identifying your employer?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah. He works for New Belgium Brewing.
Woo!
And one of the most important reasons that I bring that up is because we have a bottle here of New Belgium Brew called it's the Lips of Faith series. The beer itself is called the Super Crew. It's ale brewed with Asian pear sauce, and it's 10% alcohol by volume.
Oh my gosh.
So Aaron knows both where his bread and where our fancies are buttered, I think. And we appreciate that, sir. Thank you so much for sending that along.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, it was a UPS shipment, I believe. I opened the door. The guy, they do the knocking and then they leave. And so you show up and you look out the door and nobody's there. And then you look down and there's a parcel. And it was lovingly packed and wrapped with ecologically conscious materials. It was all like recycled and biodegradable stuff. And there were two big bottles, so we're gonna enjoy the first one with you tonight, sir.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, I'm excited about that. So, anyways, this is it looks to be a fine brew.
So yeah, it was brewed for our 20th anniversary, so it's kind of a one time deal.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. That makes me feel really.
I'm honored.
I know. I feel like
in a secret club or something.
That's right. Yeah. Is this one of the ones that is it a Fort Collins only brew, or is it like an insider's just for the employees sort of thing?
It's actually more than Fort Collins. It's kind of once it gets out west, like specialty shops will have it, but it is kind of hard to find.
Okay, I have never seen it here in Portland, and Portland is a beer town, as I suppose you probably have heard.
Oh, yes.
Although I'm sure it probably would be debated because I think Fort Collins is also a beer town. So the nice thing is that beer is not such a it's not a really big rivalry. It's more a thing that people that like beer kind of like beer across the board. So,
yeah, it's a great industry.
We all get along. It's good times. So anyways, well, I'll start by saying I had a fantastic weekend, Brandon, and I've told you about this already, but I will say it again for the benefit of all listening, that I am officially now a badass, I think, because
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I won't do the Inception noise. You can turn it up.
I appreciate that. No, my wife actually is the true badass because she's the one that came up with the concept for this whole trip that we took this last weekend. But we went out. We live in Portland, Oregon, which is close to the Columbia River Gorge, which is basically it's a big channel carved into the rock. And then there's lots of mountains on both sides. So she's had this idea for a long time. To go out and bicycle to a place where there's a trailhead, and then from there backpack in and climb to the highest peak that you possibly can. So we went out, we bicycled 55 miles this last Saturday.
That's incredible.
And then we set out from there, and we probably climbed about 1,000 feet and camped out that night. And then we the next day we climbed even farther. Mount Defiance is the name of the mountain. And we climbed all the way to the top of that, although not with our packs. We left those lower where we camped that day. And then when we came down, we bicycled all the way back home, not without a stop at the famous Charburger, which is a chain of restaurants up and down the gorge here. And it's a true slice of Americana. And by that, I mean there's a lot of kitschy cowboys and Indians type of stuff. And it's all cafeteria style. And it doesn't follow necessarily that if you go to Charburger, you're on a sad vacation. But we observed many people on sad vacations eating at Charburger. So I quite enjoyed the food. I had an enormous burger with two patties. which is not quite your thing, but that's okay. It was two beef patties, with ham in the middle, cheese on both patties, and then bacon on top.
Redeemed.
Okay. It was huge. It was the biggest burger, and it had been a long time since we'd had, prepared food of any kind. It was all instant and whatnot. So that was a fantastic trip, and I was glad we did it. It was all self-supported, and we finished up at the local McMenamin's Edgefield property we had beers. So, yeah, that was
good interactions with any other bicyclists or hikers.
Well, campers? I mean, I've gotten
maybe,
into the
maybe
habit
the laugher.
Yes, I've gotten into the habit of responding to people who are out in their Lycra and their racing gear and they're doing time trials and stuff. I've gotten into the habit of responding to that with absurdity rather than anger. Because for the longest time I've been, I don't know. And Aaron, do you have any sort of angst regarding people who race? Or perhaps you're a racer yourself. Perhaps I should be careful.
No, I'm not a racer. No angst, but they don't seem to accept me. I get funny looks from them.
See, that's the thing. It's the lack of inclusion, I think. That's the thing that makes me kind of think like, they don't have time. You can say hello and maybe they're going so fast that they can't respond. Maybe they're like,
the
five
only
miles
time you hear
the
their voice is like if they're coming up behind you, move to the right, move to the right.
That's right, yeah. And they never have bells because bells are too heavy.
That's right.
So anyways,
They create drag.
They do. And how.
Yeah.
So I started responding kind of with some absurdity, just kind of like whenever I would see like a Peloton or a big group of Lycra-clad cyclists, I would pump my fist into the air and shout,
"Communist style.
Best day ever." And, sometimes that was enough to break through the hard shell of friendliness. So, yeah, I felt good about that.
That's good. Way to neither be pouty nor pissy.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Brandon, how was your past week or several weeks?
Well, it's been a while, yeah. I biked out the gorge myself, did a 1-day 60-mile little trip out there with fiance and a friend, Jason, and I think I had my bike seat set up too high because my right ankle has been killing me. I asked the Google, and the Google said I was probably ankling, which means my toes were extending too far down or something.
And the Oracle knows all.
Well, seems to think it does. So I have not been able to ride my bike for a few days because I'm getting ready for a big trip. So
yeah.
Dude is abiding more than he would like to.
I wish you a speedy recovery on that ankle.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir.
That would be nice. Yeah. And you and I are both going to be traveling together for the next couple of weeks.
That's right, we are. Yeah.
It's kind of exciting. And actually, listening audience, if you notice, and perhaps you've noticed already, summer is the time when we go out and we have big adventures. And so I've been taping some pre-taped sort of interview segments, and that's what we've been rolling for the past. I think that we've had two of them so far:
yep.
The Soup Cycle interview and the Traveling 2 interview. Those are both they were done. In a different style.
That's right.
All right. I mean, they were done with the same panache and the same...
And that's what will be kind of coming up as well.
The same flair. Yeah. So, yeah, we've got some more of those.
Yeah.
Darren Alf from Bicycle Touring Pro. And then some folks, a listener suggested that we get in touch with some folks. Listener Carl, I think, in Animalheim. He was the one that said you should get in touch with these guys who did a raw vegan fixie tour.
Those guys are monsters,
right? From the border to Nicaragua or something like that, or farther. I can't remember.
And they
only
packed as much food as they could fit in their pockets and their belly.
Right, right. They are seriously.
It's completely insane.
They are crazy people, and
I love them.
And they are awesome for it. So,
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So you'll hear from them. Anyways, those are some of the upcoming shows, and we'll have a full roster of the upcoming shows on our website, which is thesprocketpodcast.com. So. Long may it live. Yes. Far may it wave.
Yes.
yeah. So, anyways, I realized we haven't actually cracked open this beer yet.
Yeah, well, we've talked about what we're drinking. What are you drinking, bro?
Oh, Funkworks Saison. Funkworks is a local brewery here in town. It's fairly new, and they only make Belgian Saisons, and they're fantastic.
Nice.
Is it named after the painter?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay. I was going to – you sounded very educated there because I don't know what a Saison is either.
Saison was a landscape painter.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Saison's a Belgian style. I thought you meant Funkworks.
Saison
is
that's the proper way to pronounce it.
Belgian ale.
Out here, we ignorantly say Saison or something like that. Saison, like, kind of like a southern season. Saison.
Okay.
Well, I know.
That's awesome. How is that on your end, sir?
Oh, it's fantastic. I found myself there this afternoon, so I picked up a bottle for the show.
As you should. There you go. Well, I'm about to delve into the Super Crew here.
Oh, that's interesting. that's great.
Actually, I think it's got a Saison yeast as well, so it's kind of similar beers we're all drinking.
Yeah, we're beer brothers as we continue here.
No, it's
yeah, very connected.
Yeah. You know, I've always loved pears. Dried pears are one of my favorite snacks because they taste like Mike and Ike's, but they're way better for you. so the Super Crew actually it's got that strong pear flavor, which is fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, nice.
Piled high with a bit of the yeasty flavors and then... Oh, I like that. Yeah, there's a lot of common flavors with a cider.
Yeah, yeah. I will be delving into that, I think, deeply as we speak.
Nice. The base beer is actually Fat Tire, so you probably wouldn't
guess
that.
There we
go. Yeah. Well, it's well covered. It does have the there is a bicycle on the label. And all of these Lips of Faith bottles, because Jordana and Nora, they sent us two bottles as well. They had all the custom painted labels on them, but the bottles are very beautiful. So
yeah,
at some point I'll have to take all of those bottles and take pictures of them and we'll put them up on the internet as well.
It's true.
But
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think, was there any other business that we wanted to cover? We don't really have news per se.
Well, we totally, have not been newsing it much,
I did read Logan's headlines and they went out with last week's episode. Yeah, I felt bad because I'd said, "Hey, Logan, I'm in a pinch. Can you read the headlines for me?" And I think he took my meaning slightly differently. But game as he was, he answered the phone. We called him while we were rolling tape, and then it turned awkward, and then we disconnected the call. So, Logan Smith, you're a good man, sir. Thank you so much for putting up with our hijinks. This is almost like drunk dialing somebody, but it's before we get drunk. We dial them and then we get drunk after.
That's right.
So anyways,
it's dial drunking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Aaron, the reason we called you is because, you're a man of might and prowess. You're famous. And, I don't know if you're actually famous, but you're famous to us because you know, we've never met you in person. Which naturally makes, I think, we're probably more nervous.
Mystique.
Yeah, there's more mystery talking to you than there is to someone we have been acquainted with for a while. So, anyways,
I feel honored.
I know you're the kind of person that does exciting things. One of those was a tour, but maybe you should just start by telling us how you arrived in Fort Collins and what it is you do there.
More importantly, we have to begin with the tradition of choosing. Choosing your fanfare.
I almost forgot. I'm sorry.
Which you've been doing for a few episodes now. We like to introduce every guest with a fanfare. We've got Royal. We have Gong. And we have Classic Movie.
Or I suppose you could even intro yourself with a Hurt Bird song if you wanted it.
So those are my options.
Yes.
I'll go with Royal.
Right, there we go.
All right.
We give to you the Professor. Aaron Levanchi.
Wow.
Best day ever.
That's the best introduction I've ever had.
Tell us about you. How long have you lived in Fort Collins?
I've lived here 6 years.
Okay.
I moved out here when I got the job with the brewery.
Nice. Nice. As it should be. before that, was the brewery your primary draw, or were you thinking Fort Collins is a great bikey place, or what was it that...
Both. I was living in the Midwest, and I was working for a major pharmaceutical company, and as great as a job it was, I thought I only lived once. My first place choices to live was Colorado, and first choice in places to work was New Belgium.
There we go.
Only job I applied for, and they offered it to me, and I sold my house within 24 hours, and... packed my shit and left.
That's fantastic. That's kind of like grabbing life, you know, by whatever it presents to you and taking it for all it's worth. So that's a good thing. That's the kind of story I like to hear.
Yeah, it worked out really well.
Yeah. And so how long have you lived there now, you said?
Little over 6 years.
Okay, nice, nice. That's
so not too long, but...
Yeah, it's enough time to get to know a place.
Yeah, I feel mildly established.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. So you had mentioned you've done some weekending here and there. You're obviously a bicycle person, and
yes.
And New Belgium actually is a company that loves bicycles and loves the adventuring that goes along with them. So
yeah, for sure.
What kinds of things have you done so far?
Recently, I had the Lewis and Clark trip, which I'm only doing in 500-mile sections due to the fact I have a job.
Right.
And that wasn't exactly my idea. I think I was the only one just stupid enough to go. And we wanted to go from, of course, east to west. But due to some logistics, we had to go from west to east. So I rode Omaha to St. Louis.
Oh, nice, nice.
Didn't quite make St. Louis due to tornadoes and flash floods, but it came really close.
That's kind of exciting. So the Lewis and Clark, that's the Lewis and Clark route from Adventure Cycling Association, correct?
Somewhat. And there's another book, which I wish I had the guy's name. So we used part of that because in Cedar Rapids, we picked up the Rails to Trail, the Wabash Trace Trail.
Nice.
And took that. So we used part of Adventure Cycling and part of the other gentleman and then part of Google Map.
There we go. Yeah. So,
yeah, each day we decided where we were going to go. We knew where we had to get to and trying to find the most rural route.
Kind of staying away from the big cities as much as you could?
Yeah, as much as we could.
Nice, nice. So what was the how far was the – you said it was a 500-mile chunk? And that was about as much as you could tackle in – was it like a week's worth of vacation or
– I think we did that in 5 days.
Okay.
It was six, 5 or 6 days.
So you were kind of you were rolling heavy. You were going out quickly as much as you could.
Yeah, I don't know what my rig weighed, but we'd try to get one meal out somewhere in some town we came to, and then the rest is just food we had on us, and we would fill up water at gas stations, whatnot.
Nice.
So just tent, sleeping bag, and the essentials.
Nice. And did you say you started alone or
no? I was with my buddy Michael Busman,
okay,
who was
nice.
Actually his idea. So it was the two of us.
Very good. His idea to do that particular segment, or was he the one that came up with the Lewis and Clark, the grand scheme?
The grand idea. He grew up in St. Louis, so he was a big fan of Lewis and Clark,
okay.
And he's been wanting to do this ride since he was 18 and somehow talked me into it.
Nice.
And as soon as he mentioned it to me, I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. Brandon and I both grew up in Oregon, and so we have a certain affection for Lewis and Clark ourselves. I know I went out to Astoria, Oregon, which is the probable end of the Astoria and Seaside.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those towns have probably big Lewis and Clark references in them. But there's a large bronze statue in the roundabout on the beach at Seaside, Oregon. And between bouts of middle schoolers, like at spring break, they all come out and play the arcades and rent the things. But there's that big statue, and they're just kind of standing and looking out towards the ocean and saying, hey, we made it. And I always thought that was terribly romantic. So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that section of the trip.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to, I assume you'll pass through Portland, so you're going to have to drop in and say hello to us when you do. But,
oh, I'd love to.
Yeah. In fact, we'll have to buy you a pint because that's what people do for people who are on bike tours. So that was actually something I was considering doing myself this last year. A friend got married, or a friend is getting married, and that's at the end of your and I trip, Brandon. When we go
right.
on our 2 week venture, I'll be ending up at that wedding. If the wedding was not happening, I probably would be out and starting in St. Louis this summer as well. But
so it goes.
So goes life. Yeah. So I'm glad you're getting a chance to check it out.
Do you get to stop by like major landmarks along the way? Like, oh God, this is where the.
There's really not a lot out in that area. And
were buffaloes here once.
Yeah. we were at the Lewis and Clark State Park somewhere in Missouri. And then White Cloud, Kansas actually had a little amphitheater that was built for like the 100th or 150th anniversary for it. But apparently it didn't go over real well. So nobody's went to White Cloud since that.
Really?
And there's really no reason. It was a ghost town. That was one of the more interesting towns we camped in because we actually had to call the local sheriff to find a place to camp because we had nothing. And the next town was 40 miles away and we couldn't make that. So we camped at a marina and we were lucky to get running water.
That's a marina on the river?
Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't a marina. It was just more of a fish cleaning station with a pipe to the river.
So it wasn't, it wasn't like the sort of thing where like you go and there's a bunch of boats and a restaurant and a kitschy gift shop and that sort of thing. It was just basically like a ramp into the river.
Yeah, it was just a ramp, and I actually didn't even see a boat. And it kind of reminded me of Mexico because there were dogs running around, but we didn't really see many people.
That's pretty great. That's the sort of thing that, I mean, you definitely, it's nice to have a place to stay. It's nice to know where you're going to put your head that night. But at the same time, when you go out, it is also nice to kind of have that experience where, like, a little bit of uncertainty kind of makes you appreciate the moorings that you find, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
So you had to call the sheriff. You had cell phones, I assume. And
yeah, we did. And that was the number on Adventure Cycling's map. They gave us two numbers for camping. And one was an older lady who came to see us because I think she thought we were motorcyclists. And her daughter seemed like a biker type. And when they came down to see us, and they were like, oh, you guys are on bicycles?
And they were sorely disappointed?
Yeah, she was sorely disappointed. We couldn't even get a beer in that town.
Is that right? Was it a dry county or something? Or
It was just a ghost town. There was nothing there.
Yeah,
but it made for a very interesting evening.
Yeah, I remember we had, I think last summer I took a trip through eastern Washington. There were a couple towns that were like that where there was like a soda machine in town, but there were no stores, and that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently it was the home of the piggy bank, which was their only claim to fame, which
that's where it started.
Go far. Yeah, that's what the sign said when we got to town.
Nice.
Were they at least in the Oregon Trail Macintosh video game from the 1980s? If they were along the Oregon Trail, I guess. No, that was different.
Yeah, because
at least you can claim that.
They both started in St. Louis, right? Or did they?
In the video game, it started in St. Louis.
Okay, yeah. So I would assume there's at least some overlap.
Like,
do you know,
rite
Aaron?
Of passage.
No, I'm not sure on that one.
Yeah, because
I think the Oregon Trail runs north, because didn't it go through Wyoming?
That's right.
That sounds right, yeah. Yeah, I've always thought it would be interesting to take the route of the Oregon Trail on a bicycle journey, but perhaps there's just not as much to see there, and maybe fewer services. But it sounds like the places you were at, that you had fewer services anyhow.
Yeah, and a lot of dogs that chase us.
Yeah.
We had two dogs that chased us for 3 miles before we finally pulled over.
Three miles?
3 miles, yeah, and it was Ed's service station. Ed, I'm assuming, he was the gentleman out front because my buddy asked him as we pulled up. He's like, are you Ed? And he's like, yeah. And we explained how these dogs were still chasing us, and he was more concerned about whose dogs they were. He's like, I don't recognize them. It's like, well, they chased us for 3 miles.
They're not from these parts.
Yeah,
we got bark with an too. Accent. Rough, y'all.
That's fantastic. We don't take kindly to those dogs here.
But, we don't serve their kind here.
That's right.
We'll have to wait outside.
That's awesome. Did you have lots of dogs chasing you, or was that?
Oh, yeah. It was a daily occurrence.
Yeah. So how did you deal with that?
Well, I got lucky because I was kind of leading. So when I went through, they saw me and they saw my buddy. So then they all started charging for him.
So he was kind of the one that took the brunt of it. How did he deal with it?
You know, if you spray him with some water out of your water bottle, they tend to usually back off a little. But
okay.
If you spit at a dog, it'll work.
That's actually a good idea.
No, they're totally freaked out by it. They don't understand it. They're like, you have superpowers.
That's a good idea.
I'll have to keep that in mind.
Seriously, yeah.
So the water bottle was a great trick.
Yeah, that was a great trick. But it was every day, multiple times a day, they would chase us.
Wow. And I guess if water sources are few and far between, that's the sort of thing that water is a precious commodity. But it's probably worth it, I suppose, if you're using.
So
it
were
to,
your ankles? Which
yeah,
would be
yeah, yeah. Yeah. They were all big dogs too.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. I assume. That the whole adage about how your bark, their bark is worse than their bite, that sort of thing. I always figure that that's just kind of how it goes. Like if the dog actually catches up to you, it's not going to be that bad. But I really never want to find out.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, I remember I was taking a tour a couple of years back with my wife, and a friend joined us for just like one day. We were going to Coos Bay, Oregon, and I think we had cruised into town, and there was a dog that started chasing us, and it looked angry and mean. And Adele and I had both just kind of become reflexive, and so we're both just like, "Fuck you, dog, get away! Fuck you!" and then my friend is on no bike to speak of. It wasn't a great machine. It wasn't a good rig, and he wasn't really a cyclist at all. But he apparently is a fantastic person of great moral character, because the dog catches up to him and he's just like, "Hey pup, it's okay, it's all right. And I was very impressed by that. So that I began doing that myself, just kind of to try it, kind of like fighting the Freds. You know, it's like fighting something with either absurdity or kindness, one of the two. Fight fire with water.
Did that work out?
I guess I've never been attacked by a dog. Usually when I do that, it's dogs that are behind fences. So,
so they both tactics work. Just you feel less mean inside. If you greet them with a sort of dumb dog talk.
Yeah. But like I said, I've never been approached by a dog, on a bicycle, since then. So I don't know.
If you've ever been approached by a dog on a bicycle, you should totally fucking have him on the show.
Yeah, you probably make some money with a circus that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I do not know. I am not sure if it works. So I would imagine the water bottle is a good standby just in case.
Yeah, and we'd yell at him too. That would scare him away if you acted mean.
There you go. Yeah, just kind of like, yeah, get that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems to be a Midwest thing. It doesn't happen in the West.
Uh-huh. So you don't have, obviously you don't have loose dogs in Fort Collins because it's a big city, and they probably have a dog catcher.
Yeah, and they don't seem to chase me because I bike around all the time and never have a dog issue.
Right. They're kind of acculturated to it.
Either that or they're just well behaved or fenced in.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the thing with postmen. Like, postmen have a hell of a time with dogs. Like, it's just something about like wearing blue, you know, and carrying a bag, and a dog sees you and they just freak out. I would assume it's probably a similar principle. Like, you know, if you're out in the middle of the country and you never have bicyclists, or you very rarely see bicyclists, dogs on ranches probably get to roam free. They have divine providence over their entire domain. And then something rolls through it one day that doesn't look like anything they've ever seen before. It's kind of like if we saw, you know, a spinning disc that was shining lights down on the ground. It's probably very, very much akin to that. But
that's a very good point.
I guess we are the UFOs to the canines. Maybe.
I said I wouldn't hit the inception noise. Sorry.
Okay, do it, do it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for
there
indulging.
We go. All right. It's fun. So, Aaron, what else happened on this trip that was exciting and notable?
The highlight, I believe, was there's actually two highlights. Outside, I believe, is Elixir Springs, Missouri. I got a phone book thrown at me at 70 miles an hour.
Really?
Which, that's horrifying.
First I was pretty upset about it, but I didn't see it happen because the gentleman that threw it rolled it up, and then when he threw it out the window, it kind of opened like a kite or a parachute went behind me. But then the more I think about it, you know, it's kind of like the key to the city. You know, welcome. Here's all. If you need anything, call us.
all the blue pages, right at your
service.
Yeah,
yeah. The yellow pages are right here, flapping in the wind.
That's fantastic. I mean, yeah, I'm glad you're not hurt. That's good.
Yeah, that could have been bad. They threw a plastic bottle at Michael, and then I got the phone book.
Ah, that's the severe kind of heckling. That's something that. I have not had that happen to me in quite a long time, if ever. I think I was like 10 years old and riding through British Columbia in like a rural part near the Washington border, and I think a guy threw an apple core at me. But that's
wow.
That's about as bad as I've ever had it. I think I would imagine if you're going to the Midwest, they don't see your kind as much. Yeah, once again, you're the spinning disc with lights and you're strange.
We didn't see any other bikes the whole trip.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, and this is, you said it wasn't all along established cycling routes as far as like organizations putting them together. So a lot of them were just kind of going through through the backcountry.
Yeah, right. Like Elixir Springs, we rode there trying to beat a storm. So we got a hotel room that night. We'd camped all the other nights. And then we tried to do rails to trails as much as we could.
Okay.
So we hit the Katy Trail right at the Missouri line. And I wish I could remember that town. But we had like 150 miles of that and then 50 miles of the Wabash Trace.
Nice. That's fantastic. I've heard great things about the Katy Trail.
Yeah, it was nice. The Wabash Trace I personally enjoyed because it was very rural Iowa. And there was nothing there. It started out as a paved bike trail and then it went to like a double track.
Hang on just a minute here. What was that, Brennan?
Yeah. Is that recording?
Oh, yeah, we're recording. We're all good.
Oh, it's not moving. Okay, wow.
No, it's just
sorry.
No, it's okay. It's a scale thing.
Oh. It's all right. I'm like looking over at GarageBand and going, oh, fuck.
Yeah, there's a squiggly line coming out of that thing right there, so God. It's okay. No, it's good. Yeah, it's always...
Brandon got scared. Sorry.
It's okay. It's good to make sure that we're recording the show because, like, people want to listen to it later, so...
It's true.
it's a good thing. I'm sorry, we cut you off mid story there. You were avoiding.
We were just talking about the Rails to Trails system.
The Katy Trail, I think, is where we were.
Yeah, the Katy Trail, and then the Wabash Trace. I actually thought was great because it started out as a paid bike trail, and then after the first 10 miles, I was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It turned to dirt, and then slowly turned to double track.
Oh wow!
So and it just was beautiful.
Got smaller and smaller.
It got smaller and smaller, but rolling countryside through Iowa was really nice.
Yeah. Did it make it through? I guess you came out on the other side.
Yeah, we stopped in Shenandoah, Iowa, okay. Home of the Everly Brothers. That was their only claim to fame. Very small, because there was an interesting brewery there we stopped at. And that was pretty much the only thing in Shenandoah.
Nice. Yeah, I was actually this weekend. There's a bike path that goes along the Interstate 84. I think it's the one that, if I'm not mistaken, I think it eventually goes to Salt Lake City.
Yeah,
I could
be
wrong. Oh, okay, yeah, it's way out there. Anyways, the Interstate 84. It's a highway, and so there's a path next to it for part of the trip, and it's one of those paths that looks awesome until you get to the end, and then you realize you have to backtrack like a mile, and then you have to get onto a freeway because it doesn't go through. So I'm glad that that path you were on actually came out on another side,
it
and
delivered.
It was okay. That's good. The Katy Trail is all soft, right? It's none of that is paved.
No, it's kind of like limestone, hard packed dirt.
Okay,
that was a great trail as well because it ran right along the river.
Nice.
Except the headwind was a bitch because it was really windy that day and the wind was just blowing off the river.
Yeah, that's rough. So it was, I guess it was an easterly wind then?
Yes, it was.
Okay, yeah. I always have a hard time remembering how the winds are supposed to be named and called. But but yeah, I think it's where they're coming from. So it was blowing into your face anyways and against all of your cargo. That will slow you probably far more when you're on an unpaved surface than when you're on a paved surface even.
Yes, and it was raining, so it was kind of soft where you're just sinking in a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Perhaps I should ask now what kind of a bicycle you ride on your long tours.
I was on a Rivendell Huckapeller.
Oh, my good.
Oh, great.
You lucky son of a bitch. You.
Thank you.
I am jealous.
Yeah, it's a fantastic bike. I love it.
Yeah. Rivendell is, I think they were, well, I think our friend David Hetty, who has been on the show before, he's a guy who is... He has bought into the Rivendell philosophy, hook, line, and sinker, I believe.
I have too. I think Graham Peterson's a genius.
Yeah, it's a good thing, and I'm just I'm tickled pink that they exist and that they have such a fantastic philosophy and wonderful products. So, congratulations, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and the only way you could have topped that is if you had said you had a Sam Hillborn. So,
that's a great bike too. I kind of like this one. If this one fits me a little bit better,
that's
for
myself.
Already.
Yeah, yeah. So you, how big are your tires?
700 by 40.
Oh, okay. So you have big fat ones and that works out nicely for going over the unpaved and probably sinking less on soft trails and all that.
Yeah. I'll even ride like buff single track on that bike.
Nice.
Which I get funny looks, from the mountain bikers. Cause I'll ride up there and the road bikers look at me like I'm nuts. In Carhartts and flannel, and I'll hit the single track, and the mountain bikers are like, "What the fuck's he doing out here?"
Yeah, you're gonna have to start pumping your fist in the air and saying, "Best day ever."
Yeah, I'm going to use that move. That's great. <It's good.
laughs> A little more absurdity.
Yeah.
So the tornadoes, you said there was some weather disturbance, and that cut your trip short.
It did, yes. In fact, a week after we left, a tornado hit the St. Louis airport. So if we had been a week later, we wouldn't have been able to fly out.
Oh, and I don't pay a lot of attention to the news, but I don't think I even heard about that. Did you hear about that, Brennan?
The who?
The tornado hitting the airport in St. Louis?
No, I mean, there were a lot of them, like Joplin's flat now. That's
right.
All I remember.
Yeah, I did hear about that one. That was kind of the one of the bigger ones. But yeah, that's crazy weather, crazy stuff.
But the good news was since we cut it short a day early, we got to hit a brew fest at Shafley Brewing in St. Louis.
There
so
you
I
go.
Made up for it.
That's good. That is good.
That covers over a multitude of disappointments.
So you were out kind of after the bad weather came in, so you were, you didn't have to deal with any of the, like your hair standing on end or any of that stuff.
No, there was, we got lucky. Other than wind, the storm, we knew it was coming, but we kept missing it and outrunning it, and then finally it caught up with us.
Wow. That's scary stuff. And I guess, I mean, you and I, again, Brandon, we've grown up in the Northwest, and so it's we don't have to deal with much of that. There was a twister up in Vancouver, Washington, just across the river, what, like 3 years ago?
Well, but every year, honestly, there's one that, like, just sort of tickles a field somewhere,
okay,
like, between here and Salem.
Yeah, right. But they're not...
Wilsonville usually kind of looks over its shoulder, but...
True enough. That's just because they have the big outlet malls and everything.
It's true.
You don't want to lose those.
The cosmos frowns upon it.
That's right. But, yeah, I can't imagine... having to deal with that as a possibility, like something, a force that you would actually have to reckon with. That
yeah,
that's insane. Do you guys have any of that in Fort Collins, or is that kind of out of the way?
Not too much. We're kind of right at the foothill. So east of here, a year or two ago, there was a tornado that came through. But yeah, generally, it's pretty nice here.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's the sort of thing that, I guess, the tornado alley, you don't want to be there, I guess, if that's the sort
that's
of
exactly
thing that, yeah, especially when they come through.
That's wow. Exactly where we were riding through. I think our whole trip was Tornado Alley
yeah.
In spring.
Well, congratulations. That's a brave move to make.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably bolder than we should have, but it was better, I guess, than the humidity of this time of year.
Yeah. Well, was there anything else on this trip that was exciting or notable? Anything else you'd like to mention?
Yeah, the highlight, we were in Marshall, Missouri, and we were trying to make it to Boonville is where the Katy Trail started. We had to do 110 miles that day,
oh.
And it was a headwind that was so strong we couldn't even coast downhill.
Oh. And it's unpaved.
That bites.
No, that was actually paved before We got the trail. We were kind of riding through the day after the phone book incident.
Okay, yeah.
So we got to Marshall, and we both were kind of almost in a dark spot because we had ridden like 60 miles to get there in this wind, hellacious headwind. And we just wanted something to eat, and the only place that was there was Bud's Cafe, and it was like a little square, kind of reminded me of Back to the Future, the town.
Nice.
And we walk
Save
in, it's
clock
like
tower.
Three old. Yeah, it's exactly what it was. There was a clock tower and everything. And this guy that there's three old men at the bar, and as we walked in, and they're like, "You boys are on bicycles?" And of course, they had the Weather Channel on, watching this storm. And long story short, as you know, they heard us talking, and they're like, "Where are you going?" We're like, "We're trying to get to Boonville." And they're like, "Why you want to get to Boonville?" I was like, "Well, we have to keep going. We have to get a hotel." And they're like, "We got expensive hotels in this town." I was like, "We haven't showered in 4 days. Like, what part of us look expensive?"
Or smells expensive.
So long story short, as I'm leaving to get my water bottles, this gentleman's like, "You mean to give you boys a ride to the edge of town?" And I was like, "I'm cool with it if he is." I figured he's driven buzzed his whole life. So he's like, "That's my truck out there with the dog in the front." So he loads us up in the back. And he's like, "You guys got to ride back there. Precious don't ride in the back." So us and our bikes were in the back, and the dog was hanging out the passenger. And he was totally playing tour guide. Like, he'd stop and he's like, "Boys." And he's like pointing out like the courthouse and when it was built and Civil War battlefields. And then he took us like 10 miles out of town so we could make it to Boonville before dark.
That's fantastic.
It was great. His stories were worth the whole thing. We were both cracking up by the end of it.
Yeah, that's one of the best things I think about going out on a bicycle and getting into places that you wouldn't normally be, is that you get to connect with people that are just unique in characters. You know, like they have the color all their own, which is super cool.
Yeah, for sure. And we send these postcards out from the brewery. So he owned a donut shop in Marshall. So we sent him some postcards to the donut shop because we didn't get his name.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I've actually thought about that from time to time, about trying to remember addresses, like people that have let me camp in their yard or that sort of thing, and sending them like a thank you. But I'm not very good at that. So you, once again, sir, you have excelled. You're a good person.
Well, his truck said donut shop on it, which is pretty vague, but in a small town, it's easy to remember.
Yeah. How many are there, right?
Yeah.
That's great. And I think going to a bar in a small town is really the best way to meet, I think, the colorful characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not used to, because there's no smoking in the bars out here. And that, like, the bartender/cook was chain smoking as she was cooking our food, which is interesting.
That's
well.
The secret ingredient.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was pepper, but.
Yeah. It reminds me, there's a shot in the Nicolas Cage Gone in 60 Seconds movie right at the beginning.
Why'd you have to bring Nicolas Cage into this shit, dude?
I'm sorry. No, but at the beginning of the movie, there's like a shot where, like, I don't know, somebody's like cooking breakfast and, like, you know, cigarette ashes just ash right into the eggs, and then they flip them over, and then that's the end of the shot. But I always made a big impression on me. But no, I
you would have loved this one. You
sit I know.
I wonder if Nicolas Cage has been there.
He probably has, or his brother, who was played by Giovanni Ribisi, I think.
Oh.
I like that movie a lot. I could be wrong. It could have been somebody else.
Oh, the original dude.
Yeah, but that reminds me of last summer when I was in Idaho. I actually went into a bar after like a 100-mile ride through unpaved farm roads, and I wasn't sure where I was going to stay that night. And the bartender was real nice to me, and she gave me like, you know, 3 or 4 cigarettes, and I bought a bunch of beers. And then she said, "Hey, you can sleep, you know, behind the building. Just put up your tent in the like the driveway or whatever." And so I did. But yeah, that really is. It's a place to. It's a good kind of a bellwether of local culture. Like, you kind of understand what people are like generally in that area. I think you get kind of a good cross section of the American tapestry. And yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, that is a good way to put it.
But I enjoy that immensely, and beer is always good. So
yeah. Yeah, that was kind of Shenandoah, Iowa. That brewery we hit was very similar. Like, they gave us some beers, and then they told us where we could camp, which was actually the city park. And we put our tent up right by a water slide, which
isn't
was kind of weird, but the price was right.
For sure, yeah. That's one of the benefits of going to places that most people don't go. I've heard all across the Midwest there's a lot of towns that where you can just park yourself right in the middle of town, and you know, it's the city park or it's the cemetery or whatever, and you just camp there.
Yeah, for not having a bicycle culture, they were very welcoming. It was, except for the phone book, it was a great experience.
That phone book is going to, that'll be something that stays with you, I'm sure, for a long time.
Yeah, it makes for a good story.
It does. Well, congratulations on the tour, sir. That sounds fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
What other kinds of things, you've done some weekends out and that sort of thing. What's good in Fort Collins?
One I did last year, which I found if you give something a weird name, usually people will do it with you, and I have problems rallying people with me. So I did this ride, a totally hardcore ride, which a THC ride, not to be confused with anything else.
No.
Of course.
It happened to start on April 20th, so what?
It was actually, yeah, shortly after that, but
okay,
close.
Okay.
That was in May. But I rode four of us, myself and three others, we rode our bikes up to Cameron Pass, which is 60 miles up a canyon with all of our ski gear, and then skinned up one of the peaks and skied down and rode back to town.
That's fantastic.
We did that in a few days, but and then hopefully this year I'll ride up to Long's Peak and then climb Long's and ride back in August.
Nice. That'll be really cool. So that's very much you have already done the kinds of things that I was excited about doing this weekend. So you once again, you're the you are the superior human being, sir. That's all.
No, you're too kind.
I love the idea that you can do that sort of thing self-supported. Like, you can go out and you don't need a car. I guess you have to be ready for it is the thing. Like, you have to be able to power yourself out there, be able to pedal yourself to the place you want to go, and then you have to be able to do the physical activity afterwards.
Yeah, but, for sure. There's some mild training involved, but I'd much rather get somewhere completely self-supported with no driving at all human powered. I think it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
for sure.
And you feel the weight of every hill. You get a much richer sense of the shape of the watershed and everything cool that's happening around you when you're not just like putting your foot a little bit more heavily on the pedal, but you know, you're just actually pedaling every fucking step there.
That's a good way to put it.
Oh, shucks. Well, hey, I'd love to hear more about the bike culture that might be present at New Belgium. You guys have bikes on all kinds of stuff, and your flagship beer is named after a bike. What's the culture like there with bikes?
It's great. There's several people that commute, like myself. I don't drive to work maybe once or twice a year, but we do a lot of there's a lot of us that do group rides, and our 20th anniversary was last week, so they gave us every employee a cruiser bike,
nice.
A new cruiser bike, which
wow.
was a nice perk.
Is that a good around town bike, I would assume?
It is. It's great for around town.
Nice. What was the make or model of that?
This year was made by Felt, and it's a custom bike that we designed for him, or we designed and Felt built him.
It sounds like you got a better deal than IKEA.
I was just going to say, it sounds way better than IKEA.
That's cool. Where you guys work?
No. But there was a thing with IKEA here in Portland, I think. Every employee there got a bicycle for Christmas. It was like a Christmas bonus, except the bicycles were crap. They were terrible. They were just like
Craigslist was flooded with them.
There was a lot of them, for sale on Craigslist. Yeah, it was the sort of thing like it was a great gesture, but they weren't giving them like city
they
bikes.
They were just boxy, everything IKEA. No,
it was like if you went to I assume if you went to any big box chain store and you bought an expensive mountain bike, that was kind of what they gave all their employees. So it sounds like New Belgium.
Look, we're bike friendly.
Right. Which, I mean, I assume they are, but they're just not very smart about it. So what can you do? Hope nobody from IKEA is listening. If you are, you've been told. But, yeah.
Boom. So you guys got to custom design a bike. Like, did you have, like, a committee that got to design this bike?
Actually, there's one guy the last few years who's way tuned into the bike culture. He's way burlier than I am. And he's been designing him. And it's really cool because even like the cranks have our globe glasses cut into them.
Oh, that's rad.
And there's a back rack that holds a case of beer.
Nice.
And really well thought out.
it's for what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. That's the sort of thing that I think if I will never get that deal working in student transportation, I don't think.
No.
As a school bus driver, they will never give me a bicycle. No. But
we'll do like so. Do employees like go on weekend trips together or races together, or is that part of the culture?
We support races as well. And if you want to do a race, New Belgium will actually pay for your entry fee. And the gentleman that did the bike tour with me also works at the brewery. So there's a handful of us. That we actually mountain bike and do a lot of bike camping is quite a bit, actually. But yeah, there's a great bike scene just at the brewery alone, and Fort Collins is really cool for that.
Yeah, I heard that they're more amenable to like if you need time off or something, or if you want to go on a bike tour, like it's easier to get time there perhaps than other places. Is that true?
Yes, and after 10 years of employment, they give you 6 weeks to a 6 week sabbatical to kind of recharge. So there's been a handful of guys that have done some really cool 6 week bike tours.
Wow, that sounds and like
they provide bikes for if you want to go to lunch. We all have the code to the locks, and like the other day, yesterday, I rode to work and forgot my lock, so there happened to be one laying on the ground. I was just able to lock my bike up there.
Easy enough. Wow, that. I feel like I should move there and work there.
You're feeling the call from on high, bro.
I am. Divine Providence has pointed me to Fort Collins. Someday. Yeah.
They really take care of me.
That's you're a lucky man, sir. That's fantastic. Well, we should probably wrap our show. We're getting close to the end of our time. Is there anything else you want to kick in? Anything you've always wanted to share with the world?
Oh, wow. No, I think I'm good on that.
No deep, dark secrets. No no confessions of murders 20 years ago. None of that. That's okay.
No. I don't know if I want to put that on the air.
Just to clear the conscience, I was thinking, but it's all good. Well,
I appreciate the thought.
That's right.
Always here to help, sir. If you change, if something comes up later, let us know.
Cool. I'll call in.
If you out there on the internet, all of you listening to this show, would like to find us, our website is thesprocketpodcast.com. You can send us feedback about the program, suggestions for topics, guests, or drinks. Write us at our email address, thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call us, tell us your stories about tours, exciting things, human-powered adventures. 503-847-9774 is our message line. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. You can find him on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. And thanks to Hurtbird, whose sounder we didn't use. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com. My name is Brock.
And I'm Brandon.
And this is Aaron. And
Was that my cue?
It's all good. We do appreciate you being with us, sir.
It was my pleasure.
All right. I'm gonna turn our vocals off, but we'll say goodbye to you after the show. Goodbye, folks. We'll talk to you next week.